357 of the podcast. Kevin and I preview Illinois. We also talk more in depth on the firing of Wisconsin head coach Paul Christ, what that means for other coaches across the country. We discuss who's the better job, Nebraska or Wisconsin. Both will be looking for a head coach at the end of the season. And we get into what Iowa needs to do this weekend to beat the Fighting Illini as dogs in Champaign. Let's have a day. Let's go. No cool intro. It's just me and Kevin. It's the Kevin and Tyler show. I even switched the picture on the promo, on the thumbnail.
Which picture did you go with?
Picture of me and you holding the
phone in the hot tub.
What?
You know which picture I'm talking about.
Phone in the hot tub.
Second year of camp, I think. Yeah, second year of camp.
Oh, no. Picture of me and you holding the Big Ten West trophy.
Ah, cool. That was a cool trophy.
Wish had to go back and had to go back and dig for it because there was somebody, you know, I put out the, when I tweet out the episode, I put the thumbnail of the YouTube video. That thumbnail has included, it's very lazy. I mean, it's not like Kevin and I and Drake have a ton of pictures of us out there that I'm just going to swap in and out. Like, we don't have high def cameras where we're all in the same studio recording, so we can take a new thumbnail every single video. So the picture I've been using is just the one that we took at the meetup. Kevin's taking a call, and that's okay because I can. Well, he's this CEO Striker. So sometimes you got to take a call in the middle of the podcast, and if it goes for 15, 20 minutes, that's all right. Anyway. Somebody chimed in after I tweeted out the episode Monday and said, hey, can we get a new picture that Drake isn't involved in? Can we get Drake out of the photo? And I was like, well, he's not gone forever, but I suppose for during the season, we could come up with something different. And so it's either that or... And you guys can choose for anybody that gives a shit or not. Oh, by the look on Kevin's face, we're not going to have him very long.
What's that?
Kev, dog, what's up, brother?
Bullshit, man.
Do you have to go to work?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Not now, no.
Okay. Later than you'd like to tonight? Hey, getting that fucking bread comes at a cost, baby. You know what I'm saying? Kev, you live for this shit. You're a grinder. You're a Gruden grinder.
Gruden grinder. Yeah, that's what it takes to be a trauma rep. That's for damn sure.
Anyway, so I'm either going to use a picture of solely me and Kevin. We have a couple that we could choose from that are on my mom's Facebook page that I'll have to go back and find, or I might just put a frosted flake over Drake's face for the time being because he's flaking on us.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Or maybe I'll just Tony the Tiger. Tony the Tiger will go in the middle and then me and you on the outside. Anyway, we play Illinois this week. It's a family connection there for you, Kevin.
Indeed.
Your dad was a rock star offensive lineman for them in the late 70s, early 80s? Early 80s?
Early 80s, 82 to 85.
There you go. In their heyday.
83? 82.
Are they bringing it back to how good they were in the 80s?
Do you think they'll go to a Rose Bowl this year?
It's not likely. So I guess the answer is no. They went to a Rose Bowl, huh? They were that good.
They went to a Rose Bowl. Yeah. Oh, didn't you know it's a Ward family tradition? You go to the Rose Bowl, you get your ass kicked.
Who did they get their ass kicked by?
They got their ass kicked by UCLA. I think it was like 45-9 or something like that.
Jesus Christ. Ward
didn't lose as bad.
A Ward walks into the Rose Bowl and it's bad news Bears. Do we have a guest on the podcast?
Do we want to get a guest on?
Sure.
This individual played football for the Hawks.
Is it your brother?
It is. Yeah, he just walked through the front door.
I don't know why we haven't had Ryan on as a guest yet.
Yeah, I don't know. Does Ryan want to come on for a guest sometime?
Yeah, you've never asked me before.
Yeah, I think I have.
No, you've talked about having guests on. I've never received a formal.
Oh, he's salty as fuck.
He wants a formal invitation from the CEO.
Hey, you guys talk about guests. Let me be on the show.
Now, we've talked about having you on the show before.
You can come on and then never heard anything else about it.
Well, fuck. Well, it's got to be immediate then. We are going to have to, he's got to be number one as we roll into the off season and we start doing guests again.
Let me check my busy schedule for the
I will say, you know what? I'll write something up on some nice looking letterhead. And we'll send you a legitimate request, and hopefully you'll bless us with your time, Ryan Ward. There's a comedian, by the way, that sounds exactly like Ryan.
Who's that?
God, I just scrolled across one of his TikToks. I'll have to find him, but it's uncanny. If you didn't watch it, you'd think, oh my God, that's Ryan Ward talking. It's crazy. Anyway, Illinois. You got any thoughts on Illinois past the fact that your dad played there and we beat the shit out of him a couple times, although we were in a ball game with him in 16. That was until McCarron decided to save us on a punt return.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. We beat the hell out of him in 14, I think. 15 was actually a kind of a close game, too.
It was a sad game, too, because that was the game that Drew got hurt.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was they actually had a decently solid squad that year.
Dude, that was a
Jordan Kanziri 200-yard rushing game
to
seal the deal on that one. Oh, you know what? I remember it was Marshall had missed an extra point in that game.
He did.
And it's the fourth quarter, and Illinois has got the ball, and we're up 26-20.
Yep.
Would really like to be up 7 points right now.
I remember that. A lot, actually.
And then Jordan Kanziri had we ran the ball with Jordan like 9 times in a row or something.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
I think we got a field goal out of that drive and then we're able to get a turnover and that was the end of that game.
I will say we missed the extra point, but Marshall also kind of was clutch because he hit 3 nice field goals in that game.
That's true. Yeah.
So, you know, but in the moment you do look back and you're like, come on, you couldn't hit the fucking chip shot to put us up a solid 7.
Yeah. They fucking moved it back 20 yards on the pros. Cause it's supposed to be automatic.
Right. I actually like that they moved it back in the NFL.
Well, I mean, like again, it was automatic in the pros. I think it was like a 99.9% make rate.
There was like one miss every year.
And it's just like, are we wasting everyone's time or like, what are we doing right now?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Illinois. Other thoughts on Illinois. I described their locker room as like the basement of like a 70s or 80s house.
I'm pretty sure that is the locker room that my dad's teams used as the home locker room. So yeah, that probably tracks.
Wood panels, wood lockers, not a ton of space.
That carpet's probably got mold from the 80s in there. Yeah.
Just think of all the sweat. That's just been, you know, dripped onto that
musty. Yeah.
Not a great locker room. Have we talked about that Northwestern stadium plan on the pod yet?
Not yet though, but it looks pretty sweet, don't it?
Looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's only going to hold like 38,000 or something like that.
But I think that only takes away like 7. I think it only held 45 to begin with.
Really? That's all Ryan Field holds?
It was less than 50. I know that.
That feels right because they don't have any end zone seating.
They do have minimal end zone seating in the south end zone.
A little bit in the south.
Had none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was wasn't the 1 year, did they switch sidelines so that it looked like on TV they had fans in the stands or something? When we,
they did that. I remember. Yeah, that was that was like right after Patrick stopped playing there.
It was so weird. And it was like 14 or yeah.
Yeah. And like he still knew a bunch of guys playing and stuff. He's like, oh yeah, the parents are pissed about it because like their parking spots are on the other side of the field.
Yeah.
Like the press box side. But yeah, they did that to make it look like they had more stands in the stadium. So they put the home team and the home stands opposite the press box so the cameras would be looking at
inside
the stadium.
That's unreal. Yeah. The reason because I bring that up.
You watch like away games versus like Michigan, Nebraska, Iowa, Ohio State, whatever. It's like, wait, who's the home team?
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, it's 60-40 away team right now. Shout out to the Hawk fans, by the way, who traveled to Champaign because y'all were pretty good and in Champaign. That was fun. The reason I bring that up, Northwestern Stadium, is because finally, I would imagine, Kevin, that Northwestern is finally going to climb from the depths of the dog shit tier away locker rooms. For
one can hope, man. One can hope.
Unless they really like that locker room and they can just like cut it out and somehow transport it into the new facility and just like big old middle finger to the teams coming in. I would have to imagine that the facilities are going to be better. Illinois isn't as bad as Maryland, Purdue, and Northwestern, but it's not far behind.
You know, I'm no Jim Harbaugh fan, but he did bring up a great point a couple years ago when they were playing like at Purdue, I think. He's like, we got to have standards here. I mean, what are we doing? We're signing multi-billion-dollar contracts with TV stations, and we got guys that are, you know, going to be multi-million athletes in the future, and, you know, God knows how much they're making now for NIL and stuff. And we're changing these dog shit locker rooms that wouldn't be fit for a peewee team. Like, what are we doing? We have to have some standards here.
I was going to say, there's a little bit of a respect factor in the fact that, like, okay, Division I football is a serious operation. The players and the coaches are literally devoting their lives on a daily basis to this. Let's put them in a locker room that's better than a middle
school. At least big enough, right?
Right.
For 80 grown men and 20 coaches.
I think at Maryland, the last like 14 or 16 guys only got a stool in the center of the locker room because there wasn't enough actual lockers. Like
guys have to double up lockers, and like the actual rows of lockers are like 3 feet apart. So like you are literally touching cheek to cheek with the guy behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, we got to have some standards here. Well, yeah. This is Big Ten football. This is a step away from the NFL. What are we doing?
Yeah, it's bad. The other thing I remember about Illinois is it actually might contend. It is tied for the first most windiest game that I played in 4 years starting.
You remember. You remember what we did, right? On special teams that game?
What did we do?
We kicked it twice.
What?
2016 at Illinois, we kicked it twice.
Really?
We deferred the opening kickoff.
We did
second kick it half, twice. We kicked it twice. Yep.
Hilarious.
We took the wind. And it worked out great too, because we kicked it three and out. They punted.
Shitty
that
punt.
I'm not sure if that was Riley's.
Was it right out of half?
Touchdown return or right. Regardless, we got it like on the 50 or above. It was like, it worked out great.
How Kirk Ferentz is that? That's I love that.
That is the most Kirk Ferentz thing ever. And not going to lie, I got a little bit of a chub over how well it worked out.
Fully tented over the double kick.
Yeah.
We'd like to kick and we'd like to kick again. Yeah, that was – so the other game that was just as windy was a game that you probably weren't at. It was at Maryland in 14.
I was there, yeah.
You did travel?
I don't remember it being super windy, though.
Very, very windy. It calmed down as we got into the second quarter and into the second half, but the beginning of that game, I was, like, significantly worried about punt snaps. It was blowing the punt snap 4 to 5 yards horizontally by the time it made it back to Corn Breath. And it was very similar in that Illinois game that was windy as hell too. Anyway, there isn't a lot of memorable shit from our time playing against Illinois. They are trying their damnedest to build a program over there. Illinois with the Tiger Hawk tattoo. It's funny, he was asked about it, and I think his quote was something like, that's a hell of an idea when you're 19 or something like that. greatest idea in the world when you're 19. I mean, I would say for Illinois fans or anybody involved in that program, what he's done to this point is all you can ask for. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's just, it hasn't been a good program since the late 2000s. They went to the 08 Rose Bowl or something like that. And, you know, they've been to a couple of crappy bowl games here and there. I don't know if they've, since that team, gone better than 7-5.
I could pull that up.
Yeah, I don't think they've gone 8-4 in well over a decade.
It doesn't, in my mind, feel like they have either.
So, yeah, for what he's doing, now he's got teams, competing, winning games. Yeah.
So we had, yeah, you're right. So here's their records. The last time they won more than eight games was in 2007, went to the Rose Bowl. Ron Zook was the head coach. They went 9-4, 6-2 in the Big Ten, tied for second in the league. And ever since then, they've gone 5-7, 3-9, 7-6, 7-6, 2-10. When we came into college in 13, Tim Beckman was the head coach. They went 4-8, 6-7, 5-7, 3-9. Now, Lovie Smith, 3-9, 2-10, 4-8. Lovie couldn't do shit there. 2-6. And then 5-7 last year in Brett's first year, which is an improvement over 2-6 in 2020. And now, what are they? 4-1?
They are 4-1 with wins over Wisconsin. Impressive win over, I mean, Virginia is not a great team, but they beat them really soundly. A tough loss versus Indiana. I think that was week one too. So
they have a running back named. No,
that was week one, but they played week zero. So
yes,
that was their second game.
They not only have they have the best scoring defense in the country. Is that right?
That's, I mean,
holy shit.
Look, they gave up 6, gave up 20, gave up 3, gave up 0, gave up 10.
They are averaging giving up 8.4 points per game, which is Minnesota has 8.8 at number 2, and we are at number 3 at an even 10 per game. We will get back in a second to talking about the Illinois Fighting Illini in the game this weekend. But first, we want to let you guys know that this podcast is sponsored by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. They are the number one go-to if you have any custom merch needs. Do you need to... Let me sit here and think. When I was a little leaguer, I was on the Cubs. And there's a couple times in AAU that I would have liked better jerseys. We weren't very creative. These guys could help with that. You got a kid that plays sports. Are you on a team at work that needs a new uniform? You just want to look better? You got an idea? Or are you an artsy person who has ideas that might be able to sell on a larger scale? They can help you with all that. Not just the designing and the printing, but also the inventory management, the online storefront, and the processing, packing, and shipping of your custom merchandise. They take care of it all. Unbelievable customer service, unbelievable speed. They've been doing great things for us, and that's why we choose to advertise with them. Thank you, and shout out to AdCraft for sponsoring the show. Three Big Ten teams lead the country. And
here in boys, why you have that over-under at 35.5. Now, I don't think their defense, I think it's good. I think that they are extremely improved over the last few years. I don't think it's as good as advertised through those first five games. I mean,
opponents have been shaky.
Wyoming's in a rebuilding year. Indiana put up 23 on them. That's what, average, I guess.
I mean,
Virginia is not a very good team this year. Chattanooga is Chattanooga. 10 versus Wisconsin was good, but Wisconsin's just fired their head coach. So how good are they? I don't know.
We have to talk about that too, because we kind of brushed over that on our Sunday podcast. Their defense is supposedly number one in the country. We'll see. Not that our offense is a great test of that, but hopefully it's not as good as 8.4. I'll tell you this, if they hold us to 8.4 points, well, first of all, that'd be impressive to hold us to a fractional point.
How's that work out?
That would be incredible. But it might be a 10-8 ball game. I think that we will score more than 8. The problem is they can score points. And they have a running back who is a absolute workhorse in Chase Brown. He leads the country as far as running backs go in rushing yards at 733 yards in 5 games. That's impressive. I mean, that's 150 yards a game, almost. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he's like you said, he's their workhorse. They like to feed him, and their offense, just like any Brett Bielema offense, it starts with the run game. So
how's their passing game? That's the question.
Average. They brought in a transfer from, I want to say he's from Syracuse. I don't think he's anything special. I think he's a game manager type guy. They ask him to make easy throws, and not turn the ball over.
Tommy DeVito.
Yeah. And
he is 69th LOL. Nice. In the country. In passing yards per game, and he's throwing for about 225, so it's nothing special.
Right. I mean, I think the key is if we stop the run here, this game, we're going to win the ball game. If we hold on to under 3 yards a carry, I think we easily win this ball game.
Yep.
Because if they get in third and longs, I think they're going to struggle.
Yeah. I mean, because you got to be able to throw the ball.
But, you know, you could say the same thing about us now.
You're absolutely right. And again, we circle back around to, well, there's the reason that the over-under sits at, again, one of the lowest in sports betting history for college football. Go Iowa for being a part of all of these historic unders or lines. Let's talk Paul Chris for just a second, and we'll wrap it back around to Illinois here in a minute. We mentioned it on the show the other day. It literally happened 30 minutes before we press record. Shocking. Maybe not to some, but I feel like for me and you we're not Wisconsin fans, obviously. And we have a pretty strong respect for that program and what Chris has done, over the past, I don't know, 8 years or so, 10 years.
Six.
So you've only been there 6 years?
6 or 7, something like that, yeah.
Who was coaching when we came in?
The guy who came from Washington. Oh, no, we got Brett Bielema for 1 year, I think, in 2013. The guy who came from, was it Washington? Oregon State. The guy who came from Oregon State. I'm drawing a blank on his name. White, maybe? Gary White, is that it?
That sounds something around it. Anyway, they follow Chris. They follow Chris. Fire Chris. 72% win percentage. Wins 9 games a year. Is this a statement? What does this mean, Kev? Like, what is this is sort of a power move by the Wisconsin athletic department, in my opinion. Like, they are basically putting their foot down and saying, we are not going to become a Nebraska. We're going to try and stomp it out before it even happens. Gary Anderson. Yeah, you're right. I mean, this just seems a little premature.
I mean, if you don't want to become a Nebraska, then don't fire your coach that wins 9 games a year.
Right. That's what I'm thinking, right? Like,
I'd be curious, like, what, you know, I haven't really got a chance to like look into this, but what is like the temperature among Wisconsin fans? Like,
yeah.
They want him gone. I feel like he's like Wisconsin incarnate. Like, I think we talked about this last episode, but like, he seems like the Wisconsin man's man, you know?
Yeah. Like he'd sit up in Lambeau at Lambeau Field on a Sunday after winning against, you know, a Big Ten team. Looks like
he loves cheese curds.
Yeah. He'd eat a bowl of popcorn and have a beer and wear a cheese head and like go home in his Reeboks and mow his lawn on Monday morning. And like, it just seems like he wasn't controversial.
No, I mean, I think he was a pretty well-respected coach around the league too.
I think that had to have been for Frost, he was expecting that call every day. He's like, oh fuck, is it today? When's it going to happen? But for Crist, I bet that was a surprising fucking phone call or face-to-face or called in meeting. It's like getting called to the principal's office. Their AD was probably like, hey, we got to talk. And he's like, what? I mean, I get it. It's a embarrassing loss to Illinois. It's embarrassing. But you can't have a down. What does this mean for college football? Can you not have a down year anymore?
I mean, I don't know, man. Wisconsin's already got two Big Ten losses. It's looking like this might be the first back-to-back years that they're not going to represent the West.
I think you're right.
The West became a thing.
I think you're right.
Look that up.
I'm going to.
So, I mean, if that is the standard that they have up there in Madison, kudos to you.
Problem is that
does it work out for you? I mean, time will tell. I don't know.
Is that realistic, though? Can you have a standard like that where if you don't make it to the Big Ten,
the Big Ten championship at least every other year,
then you're fucking fired? Like, there's no way we can set that standard. Coaches, the lifespan.
Ohio State can set that standard. But I don't know who else can.
But as an athletic department, you look at it, you're like, okay, there's seven teams. Like, if we're playing the odds here, even if we're one of the better teams, like, there's just no way it's every other year is the expectation. Like, you are correct. In 20, it was still the Leaders Division and Legends Division, but they went in 2011, 2012, 2014, 2016, 2017, 2019, and then the last 2 years, 2020 was Northwestern, and last year was us. And then this would be, you know, they're probably...
So they're going to go 3 years in a row without making it, probably.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you could see that the trajectory was going downward. COVID was a weird year. I don't know if you can really count that year.
I don't... Right.
You know, they had a good football team last year. It trended downhill late, and that's how we were able to sneak into the Big Ten championship.
Right.
With a loss over to the Gophers. And this year hasn't started off great for them either. Yeah, I don't know, man. Short leash up there. I mean, the body of work that he has over his 7 years, though, is great.
You would think that earns you a little respect. It earns you a year where you're like, at least at the end of the season, you know, fuck, maybe they go 6-6 and they're like, hey, Paul, like, you know, we got to pick it up. We got to have a better year or your seat's going to get warm. Not just 5 games in, you're 3-2, embarrassing loss. Boop, see ya. I mean,
they're 2-3.
Oh, they're 2-3. They lost to Washington State. They lost to Illinois. They lost to
Ohio State. So,
holy shit.
Bad start to the year.
This brings into question a larger issue that I don't know if you or I are really qualified to talk about. Although when I go down that route, I'm not sure what we're qualified to talk about anyway. We have a podcast, so that makes us qualified. We're
qualified to talk. No one's qualified to listen.
Right. Correct. Or expected to listen with and share the same opinions. You, me, everybody that listens to our show, for the most part, we're within the Black and Gold Nation, the Iowa ecosystem. I would say if you ask an Iowa fan, and really you don't even have to ask anybody, you just look at the stats, right? Coach Ferentz is the longest tenured coach in the country. I would have to say that as far as seats being hot, KF year in and year out is like, hey, he's got the most stable job in the country. And not to say that this means anything in regards to KF's job, but you would think that a lot of Wisconsin fans would be like, yeah, Chris has a pretty cushy seat too. But then this happens and you're like, fuck, I guess anything can happen. Like it makes me concerned, because I don't think it's completely out of the possibility that if things didn't go well this year, maybe next year, that some dumb decisions could be made within the Iowa department, athletic department, that would be regretted. I don't know. It's just like, but I mean, it's a dog eat dog world. It's cutthroat. People want to win games, and the only way you can't fire the kids, right?
Can you though? I mean,
I don't know.
You can bench them, but
I mean, Gary Barta can't go to Spencer and be like, hey, sorry. I know Coach Ferentz has you as the starting quarterback, but you know, I've been reading a lot of tweets recently, and it's just, you're just not the people's pick. So you're sitting this week, you know, like there's nothing, you know, so you fire the people who make the decisions, and it's the head coach, or I don't know. It just is a very interesting move. This opens up now two jobs in the West. Wisconsin and Nebraska are going to be open jobs at the end of the year.
Who do you think, what is the more attractive job?
I was just going to ask you the same question. I don't know. Because you know what? The media sucks Nebraska off. They love Nebraska.
Because when you think back to like the glory days of college football or whatever you want to talk about, you know,
right.
Back in the day, Nebraska was the shit, right?
Yeah.
They were a blue blood college football program back in the day. It's just like the same, like when Texas was down, the media was still all over Texas.
You're right. They are very similar programs. That's an incredible comparison. They're the same. Texas went 3-9, like 2 or 3 years in a row. But even Texas is an elite job. That's an elite football job. I mean, you're in the big state of Texas. They have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, as far as, you know, you're going to have an unlimited budget for whatever you want, basically. Right. But
that oil money,
you better win a lot of games.
You're right.
All the time.
Is Nebraska.
So, I mean, does Nebraska still have. So since they fired Pelini. They've now gone through two coaches.
Riley and Frost.
Riley had one good year.
Well, they went 8-4.
But the Hawks beat them by 30.
Sure did.
I think they went 9-3 that year.
Okay.
9-3 or 8-4?
9-3 sounds right.
Anyway, we beat the shit out of them. That was awesome.
Yes, it was.
What are the expectations for the Nebraska fan base now? Do they still expect to be like, we still got to be winning 10 games every year? Or... have they finally come down to earth with like, hey, we'd be okay with going to a bowl game every year, every now and then we better be competing for a Big Ten West title, but let's bring back the expectations here.
I think they're somewhere in between in Nebraska, probably. I think that they think that they are that level of job eventually. I think at this point, with enough of Mike Riley and Scott Frost for the last 7 or 8 years or whatever, I think that they're in the spot where, hey, if for a couple years you could just get us to a bowl game, that would be crispy. 2 or 3 years. But then after that, we expect to get back to 9-10 wins a year. I think that's where they're at. But the question of what's a more attractive job, Wisconsin or Nebraska, I think somebody, I don't remember who put it up. It might have been... It was one of the beat writers, I think. Maybe it was Eicholt. And when I saw it, it was like 85-15 percentage-wise that Wisconsin was the better job. I don't think it's that far away. I don't think it's far and away Wisconsin. But I don't know. I think they're very similar, to be honest. I think Wisconsin's got... A little more.
Nebraska's got more money behind it.
And Wisconsin has a little bit more stability and
stability behind it. I think the recruiting ground's a little more fertile than what you're finding out in Nebraska.
Yeah.
I mean, they're an hour and a half away from the Chicagoland area, and yeah, they always got five offensive linemen from the boonies in Wisconsin somewhere.
They look like they're from fucking Scandinavia, how big they are.
Yeah. I mean, I'd take the Wisconsin job. If I'm offered same money, go to Madison or Lincoln, I'm going to
Madison. I have to agree. I don't think Nebraska is a bad football job. I think it's a good football job. I think Wisconsin's a little better. Regardless, it's going to be two new head coaches. I think Leonard is a grand slam.
Yeah, no, the word on the street is that he's going to be their guy.
I don't know why he wouldn't. He's an absolute wizard defensively. We had to deal with that our entire career. He's been touted as, like, you know, they come up with those lists every year of, like, hey, the assistant coaches most likely to take over a program. He's always on that list. For Nebraska, if they don't go with Mickey Joseph, who's the interim, and I've heard Leopold, the guy at Kansas, I've heard he's a target for Nebraska, maybe. Mm-hmm. If they don't go with one of those two, or maybe a couple other names that have been mentioned, I don't know who else. They can't get somebody huge. They're not going to pull somebody away like USC did to Lincoln Riley. They're not going to.
No, God, no. God, no. No, Nebraska is not a top-tier destination anymore. They are.
No.
They're second tier. Yeah. So back up the truck, man. You're not getting somebody from Texas, from Oklahoma, from, I don't think, you know, 10 out of the 14 SEC schools you're not stealing that guy away. I don't know.
Whoever does get the job at both places nowadays.
You know, they love bringing up Matt Campbell, but I don't know. I think Matt Campbell's a good coach, but
his stock has gone down.
That's what I'm saying, right? It's like, how good of a coach?
Although
he definitely turned Iowa State into a competitive program for
100%,
sure.
100%. And I actually think that he'd probably crush at Nebraska or Wisconsin.
But you could also say this, the years that they were supposed to be at their best, they underperformed.
You're right. But you know just as well as I, like, how many variables go into that, and is it really?
Of course, tons. Yeah. But
we'll move on. But that's it's an interesting conversation, and it just feels like nobody's safe anymore. The other day, you asked me to find the odds on the Big Ten West before the season. I found those for you. Wisconsin was at +185.
Oh, that's got to be +10,000 now.
Tough ticket. Nebraska was second at +250.
That's just hilarious.
So the top two favorites to win the West are now looking for new coaches. Purdue was third at +370.
Yep, that was a popular pick, actually.
And still might be an okay pick, depending on if they can get healthy.
They're 1-1.
Iowa sat right in the middle at fourth, +550. Minnesota at +900, Illinois at +3,300. You'd love that ticket right now.
Would love an Illinois ticket. Wouldn't.
I mean, I wouldn't mind.
Do you have the current ones right now? Can you pull those up?
I could try and find that. I also brought up the odds to win just the Big Ten outright. Odds to win Big Ten.
Yeah, Illinois +3,300 to win the West. You think about it. They already beat Wisconsin. They're favorites versus Iowa.
Yep.
They're probably favorites versus Nebraska, and Purdue, Minnesota. Not sure where that line will be, but it'll probably be a one score either way. They can beat everyone else in the West. So a +3,300 ticket would be awfully nice to be holding on to. I'm not sure who their crossover games are. I know they already played Indiana. They've got Michigan State is another crossover who is – I think they'll be favored versus them. They have them at home, and then they have to go to Michigan. So they got one tough crossover game.
So this looks like it was before the game the other day. So I This is the most current I can find. And this is also just to win the Big Ten in general. But with its odds, it kind of gives us an idea of who has the best odds based on where they sit in the ranking order. For the West, Minnesota has the best odds of winning the Big Ten. Or wait, to win the Big Ten championship. Yep, and that was at plus 800. Next was Wisconsin. They're probably not second anymore.
This is before the games on Saturday?
Yes, before Wisconsin lost to Illinois. We were third at plus 4,000. Then it was Purdue, then Illinois, Nebraska, and Northwestern. You could get Northwestern before Saturday at plus 40,000 to win the Big Ten championship. Ohio State sits at the top at minus 2,000.
That's worth a $5 bet, right?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Yeah, it's interesting. If you had to put money down right now, who are you choosing in the West? This is unfortunate, but I'm picking Illinois.
Now you're telling me I just got to pick somebody, or with the odds?
Drop the odds. You just have to pick the team that is going to end up in Indianapolis from the West.
Can I plead the fifth on this one?
It's almost impossible, dude.
There's a lot of parity.
If Minnesota's healthy and Ibrahim,
I think we can cross out Nebraska. We can cross out Northwestern.
Yep. I think the other five,
cross out Wisconsin just because they already have two Big Ten losses.
Yeah, you're right.
So that leaves us with Purdue, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois.
Yep. I almost want to say Iowa.
No, I mean, there's no reason we can't. The thing that hurts us is that we still have Ohio State on the schedule.
Doesn't help.
So our crossover games did not help us this year. I don't know what the other team's crossovers look like, but I'd say who's looked the best. You probably say Purdue, right?
Yes, they had a tough loss
versus Penn State, lost versus Syracuse, but that doesn't matter.
They beat Minnesota.
They beat Minnesota, so they've already beaten one team in the West. Arguably, I mean, what the odds favorite team in the West, so they've already had the win there.
And if you take into account sort of unquantifiable, they have Iowa's number over the last 5 years.
They do. We have to go to Purdue.
And they might have the best. I mean, Minnesota's been impressive if Ibrahim's in there, but they probably have the best offensive attack when they're healthy at Purdue as well.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so
it's tough, man. I wouldn't want to do it.
I mean, I won't be surprised if any four of those teams are the representative. Let's put it that way.
All right.
I would say, yeah, man, there's really no telling at this point in the season how it's all going to play out, because any one of those teams can beat any other of those teams.
Iowa goes into Illinois. You already talked about the defensive side of the ball. We got to be able to stop the run, force them into third downs, and make them throw and make mistakes, right? What Michigan did not do. Offensively, I think it's the same for us. We need to establish the run game.
Not even the run game. Let's just get some rhythm going, man. Put some drives together.
Sustained long drives.
Yeah. Convert on third down. That's really been killing us all year. Like, I don't want to know what our third down percentage is on offense, but I know it's not good.
It's not good.
And then once we get in the red zone, got to make them touchdowns.
Have to.
Got to make touchdowns. We have to maximize our points when we're down there.
Yep, I agree. Let's go into some – before we get into awards winners, what's our next top five going to be? People have been asking. People have been wondering. They've been talking. We got to find something good.
Top five?
Our next top five.
We've done a couple foods. We've done a couple foods already.
Non-food.
Non-food. We could do top five. Top five away stadiums, but
top five football jobs in the country. assuming that everyone's open.
That you'd want to coach at?
Yeah.
That'd be a fun one.
That would be. That would take some thinking.
Yeah.
There's a lot to consider. All right. Let's do it.
Oh, I see. DJ
Kevin. Yes. Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. You win most of the time, at least the majority, according to your record. 7-5.
I would be better, but you jinxed me.
I fucked you hard that week. That's my fault.
That's completely your fault.
I'll never use another Adam Levine meme on you again. I am 5-6-1, I believe. 5-6-1 with a push. Drake sits at 3-9.
Drake.
And I forgot to get Drake's picks, so he's not even going to have picks on the show tonight. They'll be on the graphic tomorrow, or I guess today when you're hearing this. But let's choose some games. What do we got? Kevin Ward.
All right, man. Hotty toddy, gosh almighty, who the hell are we? I like the Ole Miss Rebs -17 at Vandy.
Okay.
Vandy got absolutely destroyed by Alabama last week.
I don't like that you know that chant because you're an Ole Miss adjacent fan because of Alyssa.
Yeah, she did teach me that chant.
Yeah.
I do want to go to an Ole Miss game sometime. The tailgates look incredible.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's a great environment. So yeah, minus Ole Miss,
5-0, off to a pretty good start this year, coming off a big win over a good Kentucky team. Yep. Vanderbilt is, they're better than years past, maybe. I don't know. They still
not good.
They're still not good. I think Ole Miss kind of rules this game. Give me Ole Miss by at least 17.
Okay.
This other game, I'm between one and another of which one I want to give you.
Don't hold out on me now.
Option A or option B?
I'll take B.
You take B? All right. Yeah. Well, then I'm going with A then. I'll take Tennessee -3 at LSU.
Hey-o, we got a double pick. That's also one of mine.
God damn it. I'm screwed now.
No, we're good, dude. That doesn't ever happen. We're good.
You think?
Yes. Tennessee -3 against LSU. LSU's dog shit.
I wouldn't say they're dog shit.
Their coach is next on getting fired. He's lucky that they didn't get more blown out. Or not Ryan LSU. Kelly? No. Sorry. I got totally mixed
up. This guy just fucking got there.
I got totally mixed up with Auburn last week. They played Auburn. Auburn's coach is on. Yeah, I got that mixed up.
Yeah.
LSU's played
Auburn. Auburn really tight, and Auburn does not look like a good football team. He's about to get fired.
Auburn's going to get fired. Yeah.
Tennessee offense has kind of been going crazy this year, so I think Tennessee goes into Baton Rouge and wins that game, and hopefully by more than 3.
Yeah, it feels – yeah, I agree. All right, give me your third pick.
Last but not least.
Oh, here we go.
Road dog, 6:30 p.m. Give me the fucking Hawks, man. Iowa +3.5 is going to be one of the lowest totals in history, and you're giving me a field goal and a hook? Please, give me the Hawks. What the hell? Hawks by a fucking million.
Oh, the fans love it. Let's go. All right. That's amazing. Might have to clip that. I got Tennessee -3. As Kevin corrected me on, LSU is not horrible. They're not Joe Burrow LSU. And I got this feeling that Tennessee is, they're going to keep rolling. Rocky top. Okay. Right beneath that on the Vegas Insider page that I'm on. Now, this is going to bite me in the ass because this is just how betting goes. Oklahoma looked like dog shit couple weeks in a row. Texas, they've looked pretty decent.
Is their quarterback back?
I don't know, but I don't care.
Yeah, that's probably something you should know before you bet the game.
Don't give a fuck. -7, give me the Longhorns, baby. Give me the Longhorns. This is strictly out of spite of the Sooners who fucked me last week.
Well, they're going to fuck you again this week because...
You're probably right.
Because you don't know if your quarterback's playing.
Well, yeah, you're right. This is why you shouldn't bet with me, folks. And then,
but apparently just like shooting darts blind, you're going to go about 500 with a Kluver anyway.
Right. So. Yeah. And that's about how I've been the last 3 years. I'm right around 500. I think I've slipped by just over 500 both years. And then let's back it into the Big Ten. Noon Eastern kickoff, Michigan at Indiana. I don't love the fact that it's 21.5, but I don't care. Michigan was impressive last week. I love how clean they played. I don't think Indiana's a very good football team. And Michigan is going to beat them.
Where's that game at?
It's in Indiana.
Okay.
Bloomington? Is that where they're at?
Yep.
I like the Wolverines. I think that the Michigan-Ohio State game at the end of the year is essentially the Big Ten championship before the Big Ten championship. And Michigan is on a war path to get there and do it again. McCarthy looks good. Corum is good. Give me Michigan. Tennessee, Texas, and Michigan. All to cover. The boost of the week, by the way. Shout out to DRF Sportsbook. You see it on the screen. Kevin is so... he's just waiting for me to say this because he loves to shit on my picks. I got this from somebody else. This is the game day, game of the week. First time that game day will see the Kansas Jayhawks play. It's TCU.
Is it really?
It's TCU at Kansas.
Okay.
An over-under line of 68.5.
It's a lot of points.
They're going to put on a show. We're going over.
Wow.
Over 68.5 of the game day, game of the week. Jayhawks and horny toads. Over. Points, baby. Points.
That's a lot of points, man. It's a lot of points.
Give me some Big 12 football. Give me a 50-42 game. I don't care. That's our DRF boost of the week. Shout out to DRF for sponsoring the podcast. They are the official sponsor of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. If you guys want to take advantage of some...
made all their money back from sponsor us because our boosts have gone poorly, except for last week.
They have to have made boatloads of us off of us because of the first four boosts that we did. Shout out to me on that one. Yeah, they're the walk-on sportsbook. They are a great place to go and find analytics and
hell, man, you're getting plus 110 on what should be a minus 110 bet.
Yeah,
it's just worth the money. It's just cashing you in right there.
Just a good bet, yeah. And that's what the DRF people are doing for us.
So. What you would call pot odds.
Yeah, you like that.
Yeah,
that's all I've got. I don't want to extend this Illinois preview out any further than it needs to be. I think we talked some good conversation here tonight. I know Kevin, he's stressed out because he got a call at the beginning of the podcast. He's got to go take care of some 87-year-old's knee, I'm sure, stick some metal in her. And
I just got to go drive around. No surgeries tonight. Surgery will be tomorrow.
You just have to go drive around?
Yeah, they just want me to drive around, have a good time at night, and listen to some songs and
maybe
drop some stuff off here or there.
Okay. All right. Well, for Kevin and myself, like I said, we'll get Drake's picks on the graphic tomorrow. We'll also come up with a top five. Maybe we'll do the one that I suggested. And let's hope the Hawks can go to Champaign and grab a win. 4-2 is the best we could be this week after Saturday. That's the plan. Kevin, anything else?
HBAM. Let's go, Hawks.
HBAM. See you then. Peace.